going to. I want to encourage you, pick the conversation back up afterwards. If you're new here today, you might feel like a bit of an outsider. So many names, so many lists, so many people, so many things happening. You know, that's, you know, sometimes that's kind of one of the tensions you feel in church, of the inside and the outside, welcoming people and yet still doing your housekeeping. So just so that, by way of introduction, up here on our platform, we have Les, one of our elders. We have Alex DeRoshi, who's been mentioned that he's going to be the lunch next week. We've got Karin, who's one of our worship leaders. And we've got Grant, who's a member of our church. What's that?
A regular guy.
Yeah, he's just one of the... We dragged him off the street. I don't even know who this guy is. I mean, really, I just... You know. So we're going to start with a little bit of conversation. For you guys, is there any particular event that you were invited to that you weren't part of? You didn't belong there. You weren't part of that group, but you were invited, and it was kind of a big thing. Like, it changed something in you. Can you think of anything like that? Yeah, I did. I upped the ante, didn't I? It's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. The only thing that comes to mind is when I was in university about 3.5 centuries ago, my girlfriend said if I wanted to see her on Sunday evenings, I had to come to youth group with her.
Ooh.
It's okay, she's my wife.
So big win there, right?
Total big win. And I discovered Jesus.
Sweet. The two loves of your life. Yeah, the two loves of your life, you know. One thing that I got invited to, that I didn't really even understand this. I didn't know it was a Christian thing. I became a Christian, and I thought, you know, I guess Christians go to church, so I started going to church, and I got invited to this thing called small group, and I had no clue what it was. I was like, you do what? You sit around and what do? You guys are like group reading? Like, you all read the Bible at the same time. That's kind of cultish, a little weird and strange. Is that, you know? And so somebody said, just come along. And I totally felt like an outsider, and I went to this Bible study. And, you know, to this day, the conversations from that small group were life-altering. I still carry some of those conversations with me. So, you know, that's my example. But did you have a good one?
Yeah, I guess the first thing that I think of is when I was back in Fusion Youth, one of my youth leaders kind of volunteered me to go to Camp Iowa for 3 weeks, and he didn't really tell me what it was about or anything, but I was like, you know, okay, I like grew up in going to summer camp, so it'll be fun. And I got there, and they pretty much sent us on a 3-day canoe trip right away. We got back, and they're like, okay, for the next 2.5 weeks, you're going to be cleaning dishes, scrubbing toilets, raking beaches, serving the camp in this like youth development program. And I was like, what the heck did I get myself into? But it turned out to be kind of life-changing, and ended up kind of going back to Iowa after and sticking and continuing to work there even to this past summer. So it was definitely quite transforming, even though I thought I got in over my head a little bit.
Well, unfair, right? I mean, that's some of the joy of finding yourself in unexpected situations. You know, indentured servitude aside, you know, but...
I never feel like I belong anywhere. I'm the introvert who feels like... No, but I think for me, the life-changing or stretching experience I've had have been... They sound so simple, but sometimes it's going to someone else's church. My lame joke when I got here was like, someone else's office party. I hate my own office parties. And if you go with someone else and don't know anyone, it's... But I think going to a different church has sometimes, like multiple times, been life-changing for me, learning about the culture around me. Going to... Sometimes if I need this just random ingredient for a recipe, going to like a different or ethnic grocery store and looking for and like meeting people. I think there are so many examples in life where you just get out of your comfort zone sometimes, and that can be revolutionizing.
It really can. It's funny you say that because, you know, I don't want to get too far into it, but the whole extrovert-introvert thing, God calls us introverts to get outside of our comfort zone and extrovert and engage and connect. And for all you extroverts, God calls you to be quiet, sit down and pray. But both, we're supposed to learn to understand and appreciate each other. And so that's we're going to hit the video pretty quick here. But did you have an example
just
you wanted to
maybe
share?
Real quick. So I spent some time in Nairobi with work. And so I had a pretty impactful 2 weeks there. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I was invited to a book study. And I hadn't read the book, and I thought, this is just not what I want to be doing on my Friday night after spending an intense 2 weeks in Nairobi. I ended up going, and there was food, and there was real fellowship, even though it wasn't a Christian group, and I felt, probably for the first time in 2 weeks, like I had a real connection with people. So it was a fantastic sort of outcome for me, where I wasn't really keen on going.
Well, and sometimes our most reluctant to participation is the place that gives us the most life or our spouse. And so, to go back full circle. So let's now turn our attention to the video, and we'll break for our first conversation when it prompts us.
If you were to take away one theme in these sessions, I hope it's the idea that God's inviting you to play a part in his work of transforming lives. And as we talk about themes like sharing our faith, there's often another dialogue going on in our minds. Because we might find ourselves thinking, I'm not really sure I'm the best person for this. Or if I were to find myself in a conversation about faith, I don't know what I would say or how to even go about it. And so maybe for this or any number of reasons, we find clever ways in conversations like this to hear what's being said, but not really let it apply to ourselves personally. Like for example, when I hear someone saying to me, God wants to use you to reach other people, it plays out in my mind more like what God really wants to do is use other people to reach other people. Or if we do embrace the idea that God wants to use us, the us he wants to use is probably not the current version of us. It's a future version who's more courageous or a version of me who's better at all this sort of thing. But the truth is God wants to use you and me today to impact the people around us. So as much as you're able in this session, as you watch and listen and discuss, consider what it means for your life, not someone else, you. And not the future you, not more courageous you, but you right now. That's the you God's inviting. So why don't we start by taking a few minutes to talk this out. How do you feel about the idea that God wants to use you today?
So how do you feel about the idea that God wants to use you today?
Whatever. Scared. Excited. But scared. I think that's probably the best way. Afraid I won't be able to do a good job. I'm not a great conversationalist. I'm an introvert. I'm a computer geek. I talk to computer screens. Excited at the idea, but scared of the reality.
Yeah, I think I definitely echo that in a lot of ways. Like, you know, I'm introverted, or like we use all of these like, you know, oh, I'm better at discipling. There are other people who do this so well. I'm not equipped for this. So it's definitely super intimidating when you're like, standing at a table that says, come discover Jesus in campus, and you're like, what the heck am I doing? These people are totally uninterested. And sometimes we're tempted to like make the decision for people. It's encouraging to in the video he says, like, we need to make it about us. We need to personalize the call of the Great Commission. It needs to be like something that we all really hear as something that we need to do. And on top of that, it's like, if we go through scripture, we see the encouragement of, like, you know, Moses, of like so many people who just feel so unequipped to handle the call that God has placed on them. So it's good to see that, like, the heroes of our faith also kind of had these fears and also, kind of walked into the thing that God was calling them to do with a little bit of reservation, and that God still equipped them to do it.
Sander, how did you end up with so many introverts on this panel in this church?
Okay. I'm sorry.
It was a church of extroverts.
Okay, I got to be honest. This was a setup. I knew I had introverts. I knew it. That was the purpose. That's part of it.
I'm on to you.
Yeah. Because we are the people, you know, in terms of pucker factor, jumping out of a plane, bungee jumping, evangelism is right up there for us, right? Like, hey, I'm going to get outside my skin.
So back to your question.
So, yeah.
I feel humbled, and I am that person in the video. I think I shared a few weeks ago in a message that I assume what my gifts are, and when I hear God saying, I want you to go out and minister and evangelize to people, what I hear is God wants all of you to go out and evangelize, and I'll play piano over here. So that's how I feel, but inside, and I know in my heart, that God doesn't call the equipped, that he equips the called. And it goes back to what Alex was saying. And I think it's a matter of knowing in my heart that I need to pray about that and that I need to be intentional about really working through that in my own life. And like I shared, when I told God to look elsewhere for people who would be good at evangelizing, people kept streaming into my office and asking me questions about Jesus. So God is on to me as much as I'm on to Zonder, or that much more. He knows that I'm an introvert, and he works to equip me in what he's called me to do.
Yeah, I think it's scary. I feel underprepared. There's never a moment that I want to get out there and sort of, run up and talk to people about Jesus. I think, honestly, I've struggled with that self-doubt, that why would he want to use me? Or at this time in my life, I'm just not in a place where I can do that. And I think, you know, there's this really great song that Starfield has written, and it's straight from the Bible, but it talks about sort of beauty and the brokenness.
Yeah,
and I'm constantly reminded that you don't need to be that prayer warrior at church, although that's a good place to be in order for God to use you. You can be broken, and yet God chooses to use you.
Yeah, well, and you know, I'll talk about this again in the future, but it's the grand inversion: the last shall be first, the broken shall lead, the humble shall be exalted. God loves flipping things on their head. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have an ex-introvert in a place of great impact for everybody. I'm going to make the extrovert sit down and pray. And God loves to invert things that we would typically, you know, Peter with his foot and mouth disease became a leader of the church, not because he was so articulate, but because he learned to be accepting and receptive, which is, yeah. So I think you're right. You guys have all kind of hit on it. It's embarrassing. I don't even need to preach. So let's continue our video.
I would say my first kind of living encounter with Jesus was in a jail cell in downtown Toronto, actually at the old City Hall. I was being detained. I was a juvenile delinquent, car thief, drug dealer slash addict, and arrested on a whole bunch of different charges and really held for a while. It was a bad season. And I was in a jail cell and had this encounter with Jesus where he said, I love you. And it turned on a light inside my life. I saw things clearly for the first time. I remember waking up going, oh, wow, I'm in jail. Like, what am I doing with my life? And I realized that God was for me, not against me. And that itself kind of changed the trajectory of my life. And when I was finished a drug treatment center to get out of jail, I went on a mission trip to Africa. And I had to get special permission from my probation officer. So I'm just coming right out of like juvenile delinquent land into this interdenominational mission experience. And the mission place that I chose to serve with was really strict. And really strict sort of rule-based approaches weren't really the best fit for me. I was like not into them. So we had kind of like, we were like not jiving the whole summer. I kept getting what they called SBs, which are special blessings, which meant if ever you broke a rule or disobeyed or talked back, you would get this special blessing, which was an opportunity to work during your free time. So I was what they call especially blessed all summer long. And finally, one day approached where I was done working off my special blessings, and we were given this assignment to tell somebody about Jesus using these little gospel tracts. And I was like, oh man, like I'm so not into this, but I knew that this was my first possibility all summer long of having some free time if I could just do what I was told. So I decided I would suck it up and I would just do what I was told. So I found this this girl, Fatima, and I said to her, look, I'm really sorry to waste your time, like, but if I don't do this, I'm going to be in trouble, so would you just give me 5 minutes so I could walk through this little gospel tract with you? And she said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I walk it through, like, really basic, what I would describe as the world's worst gospel presentation. I just say, you know, God loves you, nuts, you screwed up, like, oh, it's okay, Jesus, and then, like, you know, do you want to follow him? And I remember her looking at me and just saying, yeah, I really would. And I said, oh, I don't think you understood it. So I started again and I did it again. But this time I didn't just read the headings. I read like the little paragraphs and some of the scriptures. And I got to the end and I said, you know, do you want to follow Jesus? And she looked at me and she goes, yeah, I really would. And I said, I don't think you understood it. And I did it again, you know, and this time I read all of it, even the little tiny print, even like the little asterisks. I even acted out one of the diagrams in the tract. And then at the end, very graciously, I finally let Fatima give her heart and life to Jesus. And the next day when I was reading my Bible, because I had to, I couldn't read it. I was actually crying. And I was like, what's going on with me? And I realized that I had believed that God could save anyone because he saved me. I got that. But what would change my life and the trajectory of where my life would go is when I realized that God could use me to help save someone. That's when everything changed in terms of what I did with my life. I wish I could take you with me 25 years ago to this like drug addicted, rebellious, like terrible, unkind, not very good human being when God invited me into this life of making others a part of how I lived. Because then you'd see clearly that if he can use me, he can literally use anybody. But I do think that one of the things that Jesus says is that this is really more about him than it is about you. So I think even when we use our inabilities as an excuse from serving other people, it places us at the center of that conversation. This has now become about me instead of about other people. So is there a way at moving our perspective to the needs of other people? Is there a way at even changing our posture instead of this being about you? How can I serve? How can I love? How can I reach? How can I connect? Those are conversations that are worth having even in your own mind. I found the practice of this to be really key. Even when I'm doing anything, even in my professional life, and I find the conversation in my head rotating around me, like, what about me? Will they like me? Am I good enough? Is this this? Is that that? Whatever. Whenever my conversation starts rotating around me, I change the dialogue inside my mind. And I change it to this. How can I serve here? How can I love here? How can I help people here? And as soon as I change the question even, it changes my posture. And then everything becomes easier. I remember many years ago, I was in a basketball league, a women's basketball league. And one of the girls that I played with on my team, we decided that we would train to run a marathon together. And so we went out for training runs regularly. And on that, the second time we were out for our first training run, this girl turned to me and said, oh, you're a Christian, right? And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And she said, so am I a project or a person to you? And I think that question is probably what we're all most afraid of when it comes to sharing our faith, is that we do not want people to be projects. We don't want to feel, and we don't want people to feel like we're bringing an agenda to the relationship. So I said to my friend, you're a person, you're not a project. And so she said to me, well, how about this? How about we run together, but you never bring up Christianity? And I said to her, so am I a person or am I a project to you? And she said, well, you're a person. And I said, well, then why couldn't I bring up my faith? It's a part of who I am. And we had this fantastic, really kind of clarification of what it means to be ourselves with each other. So again, I think it rotates around this idea of thinking that Christianity is something that I just add to my life, instead of faith and Jesus being the center of my life. This is just a part of who I am. This is not like a thing, an agenda that I'm bringing to this conversation. It's a part of who I am that I'm bringing to this conversation. And so we became fantastic friends, actually, and she actually became a follower of Jesus by the end of our marathon, but not because it was a project of mine, not because it was an agenda I had, just because I was able to share authentically my life and my relationships and the meaning of rotating my life around the person of Christ. Look, I mean, Jesus helped the disciples out with this one because the disciples were freaking out because they were like, we've just been given a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we don't know how we're going to do this because we're freaking out. Like, we're afraid. They're locking themselves in rooms. They're like convinced people are out to kill them, which they actually are. And so they're not doing a very good job. And Jesus says to them, this is how this is going to happen. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses, which is to be my representatives, to be my martyrs even, to be my demonstrations in the world of what I'm like. And this is a promise Jesus gives those disciples, but also every disciple since. So if you're a follower of Jesus, this isn't on you. You might be just like those original disciples going like, introverted. Like, I've got my door locked. Like, I'm scared. Like, people are out to get me. They're going to crucify me if they know that I'm a Christian. And the reality is that even might even be sometimes true, but Jesus says the same thing to you that he said to those disciples that day. And it's this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses. So there's a power greater than you that will help you with the words at the time that you need them, with the inclination, with the ability to see the opportunities in front of you. It'll even surprise you on those occasions. But you can ask if you need power. You can ask if you need courage. You can ask if you need strength. You can ask if you need wisdom. And you can ask the Holy Spirit, who will give to you in full measure whatever you need.
Okay, so what stood out to you from what Danielle shared? What inspires and challenges you of it?
I think one of the things that stood out for me was just the one line where it's not about us, right? So if we try and do things by ourselves on our own, they're likely going to mess up. If we rely on him, and I think one of the things, it jumped out to me here, about sort of this image of sort of earthen vessels or, clay. We're just clay in the potter's hand. So he can sort of massage us in what he needs us to be. And all we have to do is be and listen closely to what his will is. So that's the piece that kind of stood out for me there. It's not about us.
For me, I think it was the living authentically from the inside out. And knowing that Jesus is at the center and at the core of who we are as Christians, and letting that be reflected in the way we live our lives. To put it simply, don't be a jerk and then turn around and say you love Jesus, because that isn't well received in society. People are looking for that aspect of that lack of a genuine love and genuine connection to faith when I think they're trying to criticize how Christians behave. So I think it's just living authentically and loving people. And she talked about more than one thing stood out to me. She also talked about not bringing an agenda to the relationship with her basketball runner friend. And I think in the same way, it's not bringing our standards and how we view how people should live to our relationships with them. And I think at the very core, it's loving people for who they are, where they're at in their lives, and not putting up those boundaries.
I just want to echo that in a lot of ways. Like, when we truly let Christ be the center of our lives and, like, the reflection of our identity, like, he actually gives us power to do those things. We are, like, given the ability to live lovingly and authentically in community with non-believers, and not just, like, passing on the gospel message and walking away. And that, like, that gives us freedom to actually reflect the image of God, and people see that. You know, earlier in the service, we sang a song called Build My Life, which is one of my favorite songs, but it ends in a prayer that says, lead me in your love to those around me. And every time I sing that, I'm like, dang, do I mean that? Like, do I actually believe that when I sing it? Do I actually want to go and do that? Is it important enough for me to, like, sacrifice my fears to make that happen? And he enables us to do that.
Yeah. I think the thing that grabs me the most out of the video is Danielle saying, it's about a relationship. It's not about making the person a project. And as soon as I think about outreach, witnessing to people or whatever, all of a sudden it's a project. Now I'm focused on
results.
Results or an activity that I have to do. Whereas if I can back off and make it just about the person, so I just befriend the person. So kind of this idea that if I can be the authentic Christian, befriend the person, and just be their friend, but be authentic to who I am and Jesus as my Savior as the center of my life. Then I don't even bother with evangelism, you know, because it's there anyway. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Not. I don't have to put it on. I don't have to think of the words to say and how I'm going to do it. If I'm just befriending the person and thinking in love of them, and I'm living an authentic life as Christ, then inevitably I'm going to end up saying something about Jesus or something about my faith or, you know, something about the scriptures. And so it's almost forget the whole evangelism business, forget witnessing to people, just love them,
yeah.
Be there for them, and be authentic.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because when we read the Great Commission out of Matthew, the verb form that he uses when he says go and make disciples, the verb form is going. It actually translates as going. So as you're going, not like, oh, do this on purpose. No, it's just be you in who loves me, and it'll happen. And I think that's kind of the thrust of where we're coming from for doing things like Alpha and evangelism. So
Danielle tells another story in other videos in her witness, and she talks about all they did, was bake cupcakes and bring them to the prostitutes at the local, whatever you call it, bordello, whatever you call it. And they end up starting a Bible study with these prostitutes. You know, like, just love them.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Let's finish our video real quick. We're running a little over, so we're going to quickly wrap this up, and then we'll unleash you into conversation.
When we get here, everything was a mess for us. I start like suffering a lot of depression, and I thought a lot of taking my life. I leave my family for a couple of months. I start drinking a lot of pills. I remember it was 22 pills per day. Suffering more than 10 panic attacks per day. Everybody in my family was falling apart, my daughter, my son, my wife. The family was a mess.
my parents coming here, it actually felt quite difficult because it almost like the roles shifted. They didn't know the language. They were immigrants. I was in a very unhealthy place myself, and then I had to kind of step up and be almost like their mom. Through that, also seeing my dad go from being my hero to being a broken person. And he would say things like, I hate you guys. I don't want to be with you.
A friend of mine, he invited me to the church. At that point, I didn't go to any church. I didn't believe in God. I just was like lost. And I went to the church on Sunday and I heard about Alpha. And this friend invited me to Alpha the following Monday, and we came to Alpha together. It was a fantastic experience. And when I came to Alpha, everything changed in my life.
I clearly remember the day that my dad came home and said, I've been doing this thing called Alpha, and I thought, like, that's crazy. Like, my dad is doing something at a church. I couldn't deny the fact that my dad had changed so radically. I remember when he asked me to come to Alpha, he said, you'll meet people that will be healthy and good for you. And when he said that, I kind of thought, yeah, that's what I need. I need good friends. I need healthy friends. The first night, I just remember being like, they're all overly friendly, but they're so good. Like, if this is true, like, I'm never leaving this place. During the last talk, I just remember saying like, okay, God, I have all this stuff that I'm doing. I just want you to take it all away. I don't want it anymore. I just want to follow you. I just want to do everything I can to please you and to bring people to know you. And I just felt this strength that I never had before to quit drinking. And then shortly after, the day after, I stopped smoking. And the weekend after, I got baptized.
I knew that feeling, and I was so happy because she got it. She got the idea. She was extremely happy. It's the happiness that you're never gonna see before.
I am super thankful that you invited me to offer that. Thank you. It changed my life.
It was
like it changed everything for me. Thank you.
Was it me?
I remember when I was a new Christian in high school, I had this passion for God to use me to reach my friends. And at the same time, I was very aware of how little I had to offer on my own. And to be honest, 15 years later, not much has really changed. Like, if I'm gonna join God in his transforming work, I know I can't do it without him. I need him to pour his love into my heart. I need him to give me the words to say, and I need his presence and wisdom for each situation. And I think that's where we need to land today. This reminder that God empowers us by the Holy Spirit. We're not doing this on our own. When we say yes to God and begin to open our lives and make steps to share our faith, he meets us and helps us. We can find a great comfort in the fact that God the Father sent the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised, to help us. So we prepared some questions for you to discuss together. But before you finish chatting and move on to whatever you have next, I think it's key that you take some time as a group to pray together. So after some time of discussion, shift gears, and before you go, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit to empower you with all you need.
So I'd love to have more conversation. We're well over time, so I'm going to thank everyone for participating. Feel free to grab a seat. And we're going to hand over to Wes. Did you want to end in pastoral prayer for us? Cool. So just before Wes comes up to take over, I do want to underscore the importance of being able to dialogue about this. Take some time after church, follow up some of the conversations that we've started, talk to somebody. If you see somebody new, somebody you haven't seen, connect with them. Say hi. Introduce yourself. Because I really believe that as we focus on Alpha coming up this fall, we've got these little postcards to invite. There's room for you to write your name to invite people to. So when they're at the back, I want you to take a couple as well. Start thinking about how you can invite people to share life with you. Thank you.